It gives me great pleasure this morning to have my friend and the friend of my friend who has now become my friend. Let's give a Wisdom Assembly welcome to Reverend Ode and Pastor Dr. Pam. Please help me appreciate them. Hallelujah. They will still be fellowshipping with us next week by the grace of God. And I'm sure Reverend Ode will bring us the word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I want to continue from where we left off last week. We're talking about the Jebusite spirit. Today I want to talk about the Jebusite spirit of discouragement. And I please want to plead with you, give me your ears. Give me your ears that you are in church today. Give me your ears. And the Lord will bless you by this word. Everything that needs to change will change, and the Lord will be glorified. Amen. As believers, we must never forget that every day is a battle. For every child of God, every day is a battle. We have an ongoing spiritual battle. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against or according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing down every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." May the Lord bless his word, and may the Lord speak to us by his Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. We are at war, whether you realize it or not. We are at war with all kinds of giants. These giants want to take territories in our minds, and then eventually overrunning and overtaking our destinies. And the more docile we are in our faith, the more docile we are in our faith walk with Jesus Christ, the more ground we give to the devil. The more careless we are with our faith, the more nonchalant attitude we have, the more ground we give to the devil. Every day, every child of God needs to be transformed on a daily basis, on a regular basis, by the word of God. We are called, I know, to fight personal battles. We have these personal battles we fight. Even as husband and wife in the home, the wife is fighting her personal battles. The husband is fighting his personal battles. But I want to take it beyond that. I want to bring it to the body of Christ as a whole. I want to bring it to this church. We are the Lord's army. The Lord's army fights together. The Lord's army march onward together so that our heritage is not lost in Christ. If the army of the Lord is not banding together, we give ground for the enemy to scatter us. And by his grace, we will not be scattered. You may have accepted Christ into your life. You may have said the sinner's prayer and make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. But my friend, that's not enough. It's never going to be enough. There are other things that we must do so that we don't become lethargic into apostasy. Many have started well, but because they are not improving in their faith, they are not adding to their faith, they have become lethargic into apostasy. Standing still in faith has made many believers to allow the Jebusite spirit, the spirit of separation, the spirit of segregation, the spirit of discouragement, to separate them from God. Those Christians now have come to a place where they feel they have no responsibility towards the kingdom. They feel that the kingdom has a responsibility to them, and they don't have a responsibility to the kingdom. The church has its responsibility to you, but you have more responsibilities to the church. And that's what makes it church. The church is not this building. The church is us banding together. Praise the Lord in the name of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you are not putting the armor of God on, are you going to stand against the lies and the deceitfulness of Satan? Are you going to stand against the error that the world can bring into your life? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The rulers of the darkness of this age have become like the giants that the children of Israel saw in the promised land. They say it is the land that swallows up its inhabitants. Even brethren are being swallowed up by the philosophies of the world. We are not standing, talk less of standing out. Since you have believed, since you have asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what kind of a person have you become? The Bible says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Every day now is the evil day. Every day. He says, having done all to stand, not doing anything to fall. Doing all. If you don't do all, you won't stand. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your waist girded, or guarded with truth. What is the truth? The word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Let no man trivialize faith. Without faith, you can never please God. It says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. If the fiery darts of the devil penetrate your life, it's probably you don't have your faith guard up. Interestingly, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Why helmet of salvation? Where do you put a helmet? You put the helmet in your head. You put your head inside the helmet. The helmet safeguards you from every attack from outside. What are the attacks that can come? The head is more or less the mind, the control center. The helmet of salvation knocks off every lie of Satan, every attack of Satan. But if your mind is not sound in the word, every lie of the devil will penetrate it and control it. Let me continue. If in the body, if as an army, some people are folding their hands, and they don't care about the kingdom.
They don't care about kingdom advancement as they care about every other area of their lives. Let me tell you, you have allowed the Jebusite spirit to take hold of you. Your attention is on your physical life, your home life. You have no attention paid to the kingdom. The Jebusite spirits are taking over. You may be in church, but you are not in Christ. Remember, the Jebusite spirit discourages and segregates. It accuses. It's an accusing spirit. It's a dividing spirit. Some of us, we watch other people do the work of the Lord's army. And we are sitting down. We just sit. We have become so lackadaisical. Let me talk to the workers for a little bit. We said our meeting time is 9 o'clock. I always give a 15 minutes of grace where we spend time to pray. If a worker, a minister, a leader, you come to the church anyhow, anytime you like, and you say, because so and so, this is your reason, you don't have a good reason. There is no good reason. It's either you are in the army of the Lord because, number one, nobody, none of you among you will ever get to work late. The presence of God is where we come anyhow because we can't see God. But there are records taken. There are records taken. We have to watch it. So that we don't become careless. Those of you who are not part of anything, you don't do nothing. You don't push, you don't pull, you don't blow, you don't do nothing, but you sit down and we find fault with the church. We are discussing the things that church is not doing. Let me ask you a question. Who is the church? Oh, that church, they are not doing this. In church, they are not doing that. Why don't you start doing what the church is not doing? Anywhere you go to worship, I want to enjoin you. If you are a member of Wisdom Assembly, stay true. Stay faithful. Anywhere you go to say, oh, I'm celebrating God, I'm worshiping God, don't just sit down. The Jebusite spirit wants you to fold your hand. It doesn't concern me. What would be my problem? Huh? You don't do nothing. You just enjoy the sacrifice of other people. Tell me, what kind of spirit do you carry? Praise and worship is going on. You just sit down there. And the man on the keyboard is pressing with his whole life, singing with his whole might. The choir, they are singing. You are just like that. Not even a single lifting up your hands in the worship of Almighty God. Who is sitting on your life? That thing cannot get up in the presence of God. Let me ask you another question. Because every one of us is going to stand before the Lord.
When we stand before the Lord, when you stand before the Lord, what will you tell God you did for his name's sake? What have you done for Christ for his name's sake? Christ has done all for us. He has shed his blood for us. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He has given us his word. He was living. He gave us the Holy Spirit. What have you done in turn for him other than complain? Let me read you a story. In Numbers 32, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I will omit verse 3 because it's just names and names. And then I'll read verse 4 and 7. Numbers 32. These are people who left Egypt. They've been fighting. Now they are getting to Jordan to possess the promised land. Watch this. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, not God, though, not Gad, 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 had a very great multitude of livestock. Is it, that's even a blessing from God. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, "The country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore," they said, "if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us," watch this, "do not take us over the Jordan." Look at the answer of Moses. Moses said, Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, "Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Will your brethren be fighting across the Jordan? Now, because you have found a land that has life, that has grass for your livestock, you are going to stand here and be enjoying this thing here. And your brothers are fighting the battle on the other side of Jordan." He said, Moses said, "Do you know that attitude is a discouraging attitude? Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? How did you get to the land of Jazer and Gilead? Was it not by the efforts of these other ones that they fought for you to get here? Now you have gotten here that you felt is suitable for you. You don't want to cross to fight for the others." Many of us forget, or don't let me say many of us, some of us forget, that it's through the effort of others, by the grace of God, that we are here. It's through the efforts, the tithing, the offerings, the building fund offerings of others that keeps this building open for us to enjoy fellowship together. Some people have never made a commitment to this ministry. They just go and come. And those of us who say, "I've made a commitment," our commitment is a lackadaisical commitment. It's a commitment like no commitment at all. Folks, you may not like me for this message, but it's the truth. I have to preach it. I don't hate you. It's the love. That's why. I can only use myself as an example. Getting born again and getting Jesus into my life. Jesus came into my life and saved me. I did not need anybody's encouragement. That's the God's own truth. I'm standing on the altar of God.
I did not need anybody's encouragement for kingdom advancement. Rather, I'm begging God, use me. Please, Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Lateness to church has become a norm. I said it the other day. I felt offended when the white guy was saying, oh, I hope it's not African time. That's an offense because it has been written in us. Huh? We get to church late. Everything late. But when we want to collect, we are not late. I'm not going to lie to you. Those of us who came out after the service to pick stuff at the back to contribute to the building fund, why are you negotiating those stuff? If I ask us here, make a commitment for building fund, pledge $1,000, you probably will pledge and pay over time. We are not selling stuff. We are just saying, come take, contribute to the building fund. If you wanted to buy, we go out there. Church is not selling. Those things are there so that we can use it to raise funds for the church. It's not that, oh, you now go there. How much is this? Oh, it's $10. Ah, it can't be more than $5 now. It's not a bazaar. Praise the Lord. I thought it was an encouragement. Oh, this is $10. Okay. I'll contribute $20. I'm just saying. You come late to church. You are discouraging others. Workers that come late, okay. Pastor didn't say anything. That person came late. Next week, I can come anytime I like because he won't say anything. I've said it before. If what I have to teach you is valuable, you'll be on time. If you are not on time, I'll lock the door. Let me read to us something somebody forwarded to me. I want you to listen to it and hear it. Because we find we don't know that there are spirits fighting against us and separating us gradually from God. This, my friend, sent me this. 10 bad habits in church. 10 bad habits. Before I say that, listen to me. Why is it that if a church member or a worker carry this thing from here and put it here, they are waiting to be thanked? But I will preach to you day in, day out. Nobody comes to me and say, Pastor, thank you for that word. That was a blessing. If Pastor did not say thank you, it's like, psh, I even carried it, didn't even appreciate it. When was the last time you appreciated the word you hear? When was the last time you text me and say, Pastor, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for that word. Because, pastor doesn't need encouragement. He's, like my son would say, robotic. Ten bad habits in church. Number one, chatting and receiving calls during church service. Number two, refusing to sit where the ushers direct you to sit, it shows you are disorderly. Number three, running out to pick calls with your phone ringing out so loud. This is what he wrote there. He said, this is absolute madness. Number four, lateness to church. Some people have had this as an unbreakable habit. That habit is broken today in Jesus' name. Number five, sleeping in church during sermon. You make the preacher feel like you are one of the board members. Number six, sitting down during prayer or prayer session. This makes you look very hard. You also demoralize the service coordinators. No wonder Prince Will is going to be like, come on, come on, come on. Because he doesn't feel encouraged there. But even though we are not worshiping for man, we are worshiping God. Number seven, looking at the clock on the wall and then the watch on your wrist and then looking at the pastor's face, insinuating that, round up. Number eight, borrowing things like phone chargers, pen, etc., and living with them, claiming you forgot. Number nine, always leaving church before closure for no particular appointment, making others who choose to stay till the end of the service look overzealous. What are we rushing home to? Sunday is not a day you have an appointment with somebody. The only person you have an appointment with is God. Number 10. Gathering outside the church to discuss while service is going on. The question is, what are the effects of these things? What are the effects of these things? Just like the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, their attitude. What are the effects? Number one, discouraging others who are involved in advancing the kingdom. Did the word of the Lord not say we should encourage one another? Lack of involvement is as detrimental to church as active opposition is. Those who are fighting against the church and those who are in the church, those who are fighting against the church outside and those who are in the church inside and doing nothing, they are birds of the same feathers. Look at what Proverbs 18:9 says. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Look at what Jesus said among other things. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me. This is Jesus saying it. You are not with me, you are against me.
And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Today, we'll see you in church. Tomorrow, we won't see you in church. Yesterday, my son asked his mom, what's the meaning of inconsistency? So, I didn't hear my wife's reply. So, I now called him and I told him what inconsistency means. Something that does not say the same throughout. You know what he did? Oh, he said, Dad, that's you. I'm like, what? I said, how? He said, yesterday you promised that I could have Coke, soda, and now you change your mind. You are inconsistent. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. God bless our children. In Jesus' name. I pray, God, that the power of the Jebusite spirit be broken off from our lives by his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Do you not realize that what we do or what we do not do affect Jesus Christ one way or the other? By you sitting down, let me start with, by you coming late, you don't even know who you are discouraging or who you are encouraging to come late. By you not doing anything during praise and worship, you just sit down. You don't know who you are discouraging. Oh, it's not important to stand and wave and worship God. Just sit down and look morose. And only God knows what's going on in your heart. Maybe you are like, oh, no. That should be fa, not la, me. I don't know. If the praise and worship prayer doesn't get you into the presence of God, I wonder what's going to get you into the presence of God. Huh? You don't know who you are influencing with your attitude. Huh? You don't know. My wife also said something to me. A discussion she overheard our two youngest having. They were probably arguing about something. And the older one said, you know, mom and dad, they might have their differences, but they are going strong. I was shocked. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was shocked. What? They are watching. But you don't know they are watching. They are waiting to hear what you will say. But I'm happy with the conclusion. But they are going strong. For a 9-year-old to say that. Who are you influencing? You don't know. You don't know who your attitude is influencing. Hallelujah. God help us. God help us. One thing the church needs to understand is this. You can sin against the church. And sinning against the church tantamounts to sinning against God. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and 12. This is what Paul said. He said, but beware
Let somehow your liberty, this liberty of yours, become a stumbling block to those who are weak. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Brethren, we are stronger as a body when everyone is doing their part. We are stronger. Hallelujah. We mustn't allow the spirit of segregation. The moment in a home the father and the mother are not bonding together, they can't move that home forward. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, or verse 14 to 16. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, by which every part does its share, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. The children of Reuben and Gad, they quickly realized their mistakes. They repented. They told Moses, "We are sending our men of war to join our brethren in driving the enemy out, in driving the enemy back, until everyone is able to claim their inheritance or their heritage in the Lord." Even Jesus said, for those of us who say we have put our hands to the plow, he says, if you put your hands to the plow and you look back, he says, you are not fit for the kingdom. That's Jesus' word. He says, you are not fit for the kingdom. Your hands are there. Oh, I'm part of it. But your heart is not there. Your hand may be there, but your heart is not there. Jesus said, you are not fit. Says you are not fit. I preach this word this morning with a lot of trepidation, because I watch myself like, Lord, please, don't let me sidestep you. Don't let me for any reason step away from you. When you start having reasons why you shouldn't be in church, well, if I go now, what would they be doing? It's just opening of service declaration. It's not important. But you had somebody else's testimony that opening of service declaration was what I sent to my children. A lot of my friends who have had our opening of service declaration and closing will say, please, can you send it to me? Because they are blessed by it. But us that it was cooked for, we don't even want to taste it. They are just ordinary words. No, they are not. They are not ordinary words. What are you going to do? Let's rise up on our feet. Let's rise up.